Well, if you turn once again, and for the last time, final time for the moment at least anyway, to the book of Haggai, and our text is found at the end of chapter 2, at the end of the prophecy, verses 20 through 23, but we will read the whole of chapter 2. But paying attention, especially so, to those last verses 20 through 23. Haggai, Old Testament, third back from the end of the Old Testament. Chapter 2, and reading from verse 1, this is the word of the Lord. In the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, at once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. In the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priests answered and said, No. Then said Haggai, If one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priests answered and said, It shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, So is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press fat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labours of your hands. Yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea. As yet the vine, and the fig tree, and the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not brought forth, from this day will I bless you. And again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus far we read in God's holy and infallible word. Well, let us come to the Lord and let us pray together. Our gracious God, eternally majestically enthroned in heaven, we bless thee and thank thee that thou art the sovereign of the universe, the one who not only has made all things, but who rules through them all. And we thank and we praise thee, our God, that thou art and shalt be wonderfully glorified, Lord, in all the history of the world, of the universe, in all that thou hast made, in all the providences down through the ages, and in the final, in those last days, with the return of thy beloved Son, to bring an end to the kingdoms of this world, and to bring in the full, final, consummate kingdom of our God, our Saviour, and our Redeemer. And here we are this evening in thy presence, Lord. It's a wonderful thing. Specks of dust on the horizon of thy universe, and sinful at that too. For Lord, we confess our sin, it is ever before us. We have sinned, Lord, from our mother's wombs until this time, sinners by nature and by practice, and yet we find ourselves in thy divine presence. We find ourselves here this evening, worshipping thee, the triune God, the master of the universe. Lord, we bow humbly the knee of our hearts before thee this evening, and we ask, Lord, that thou wouldst receive our worship, accept our praise, filter everything that we say and do and think through the Lord Jesus Christ and through his shed blood, and grant, Lord, please, that all may be presented before thee as utterly and absolutely perfect through Christ. Father, we thank thee, such a one as Jesus is, thy holy child, the Holy One of Israel, Jesus of Nazareth, he who was born of a woman under the law, he whom thou gavest to us to be a Saviour and a Mediator, the one and the only one through whom we may come to thee, approach unto thee. And we pray, Father, thou would accept us in thy beloved Son this evening. And we pray that thou wouldst smile upon us, Lord, that thou wouldst bless us, that thou wouldst deal with us, Lord, this evening, but not according to our sins, according to thy great, great mercy. We thank and we praise thee, our God, for the revelation of thyself in Holy Scripture. We thank thee that we have Bibles. We thank thee that we have the Word of God. We thank thee, Father, thou hast not left us to fumble about in the darkness, wondering what thou art like, wondering what we are, and wondering what we should do. Lord, we were created by thee in love, to be loved and to love. And we pray, Father, please, that we might fulfill that royal law, that we might love thee, our God and Creator, with all our heart, strength, soul and mind, and that we might love our neighbours as ourselves. But Father, we freely acknowledge that this we cannot do perfectly, and we cannot do it of ourselves, of our own strength. We need our Redeemer. We need the mighty Christ of God. We need to be reborn in our souls, made new creatures in Him. We need to be washed in His blood, sanctified by Thy Spirit. We need to be clothed upon with the righteousness of Christ. And we need the strength and power of our faithful covenant Lord, Jehovah. We ask, Heavenly Father, please be all this to us and more. We thank Thee Thou hast made full provision for Thy people, that they might glorify Thee in this world and in the world to come. And we pray, Father, please, that Thou hast fit us, that Thou hast equip us with everything, furnish us with everything that we need, Father, for every good work that Thou hast called us to. And as we seek to build the temple of the Lord, as we seek to build the Lord's house and extend the kingdom of our God and His Christ, we pray, Father, that all the seeds sown in previous days here in this locality, here in the extent of North Staffordshire, in Stafford and Newcastle and Hanley, Lord, the gospel has been proclaimed again and again and again. Men and women have received the written word of God. And we ask, Father, please, that that seed lying dormant, Thy Holy Spirit to breathe upon it, that it would germinate, that it would be brought to full fruition. And we ask, Lord, please, that Jesus Christ would receive subjects for His kingdom. We ask, Heavenly Father, as we continue to witness for Thee in these days in which we live, in the midst of the encroaching darkness, we pray, Father, that in accordance with Thy commandment, Lord, that we would not fear, but that we would be bold, that we would be strong for Thee. And Lord, as we bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, Heavenly Father, that Thou hast been manifest in us. And Lord, please, oh, that many others, their hearts captivated by Thy truth, to love the truth, to love the Lord Jesus Christ, and to serve Him. And so, Father, we ask, please, as we open the pages of Thy Word this evening, come to us, give us Thy Spirit, illumine the page, give us understanding of a spiritual kind, and grant to us that we might grasp and see the future that Thy people have. And we pray, Father, that each and every one of us would be caught up into this, that this would be our future, a glorious future, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that when He comes in glory with His holy angels, Lord, it would be for us to be with Him forever. So, Lord, we ask, please, forgive and pardon us our sins in Calvary's blood. Wash us, we pray, and make us clean. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Thou wouldst not only forgive, but deliver us from our sin. Break, cancel the power of it. Set us free from it, Lord. Liberate us from it. And we ask, Lord, please remove all and any remaining blindness, that we might see clearly, and that we might walk with Christ, follow Christ, walk in the Spirit, and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So, Lord, come to us, fill us with Thy Spirit abundantly. Pour out the Holy Spirit, Lord, upon us each and every one here gathered this evening. And bless us and make us a blessing, Lord, to this nation in which we live and to those around us that are close to us. That, Lord, please, that we in turn, Lord, that we might be used as we witness before them, that we might be used of Thee to fetch them to Christ. So, Father, please, hear us, be with us, and bless us, for we ask all of these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you would turn with me, please, to the book of Haggai and to chapter 2. And those latter verses of which I made mention, verses 20 through to the end of the chapter in the book, verse 23. Lord willing, we'll move on to the book of Zechariah after this. But this is the fourth word that came by the hand of Haggai that we read of here in his prophecy, and this of course is the last one. If you look at verse 20, you'll see again the word of the Lord came to Haggai in the 24th day of the month. Then look back to verse 10, in the 24th day of the ninth month. This one, the last one, comes on the same day as the previous one. It is addressed firstly to the civil ruler, that is Zerubbabel, who is the governor. Speak to Zerubbabel, verse 21, governor of Judea, saying. But ultimately, I say firstly in the first instance, and I say that because ultimately the promise, what is spoken here, is ultimately spoken to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the ultimate temple builder, as we have already said in previous lessons. Thunder, earthquakes, revolts, warriors, civil conflicts, it's all mentioned here, verses 21 and 22. But it's in all these that Jesus Christ comes. And of course, he is coming quickly. He is coming now, and he is coming quickly. Zerubbabel is the son of Salathiel. In 1 Chronicles chapter 3 and verses 17 and following, we have there a genealogy. It speaks of the sons of Jeconiah, Asir, Salathiel, Pedaiah, and so it goes on. And then in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 12, we read, and after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel. Right, there's your Zerubbabel. Now, Salathiel is the same person as Paltiel. So, this is important. Zerubbabel, you see, was the grandson of the king Jehoiakim, who reigned only for 3 months before he was taken captive to Babylon. And eventually in Babylon, he was given a place of power and authority in Babylon. Now this Zerubbabel is the grandson of that Jehoiakim. He was born in captivity, and now, of course, along with the remnant, he's back in Jerusalem and he's rebuilding the temple. He's the governor, the civil ruler. They're all under him. But the reason why I explain that is because he is of the royal line of David. Thus, as governor here, the promises to rebuild the temple and to restore the throne and the power of David by overthrowing all earthly rule, all earthly kingdoms, is ultimately, not completely and finally, in Zerubbabel, but in Jesus Christ. This is spoken to Jesus Christ. Zerubbabel is a type of Christ. Now, firstly, verse 21, the sovereign power of God. I will shake the heavens and the earth, And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them. And the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother in that day. Christ is the servant of the Lord who is addressed here, and he is also the signet ring in the hand of the Lord. It is he who is chosen for this warfare. He is the chosen warrior of God to defeat the enemies of God and the enemies of God's people. And he is going to act decisively, and he has the power to do so. That power is not in Zerubbabel, but it is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Sometimes, you see, our thoughts about God are way far, far too small. Remember what Isaiah says in chapter 40 and verses 12 and following. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counsellor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? Who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. This is the sovereign God who wields sovereign power and who will do these things that are promised here in this lesson here tonight. He is the incomparable God. He is enthroned on high. He stands alone. None can counsel or question him. And the threats of our enemies, the enemies of God's people, you see, in Haggai's day, caused them great fear. These surrounding nations that were always coming against them, attacking them. And of course, our enemies today, just the same, God's people, even in Western society today, are they not cowed into silence? Because they're fearful of all the opposition and the hatred that's coming against them. We see things written by the religious hierarchy, or reportedly said by them in the newspapers. Why don't Christians get a fair deal, along with the Muslims and the Sodomites and so on? And we wonder and we think to ourselves, well, why are we treated this way? Has the Lord Jesus Christ not told us that we will be hated of all men for his name's sake? It was no different in Haggai's day, and it's no different today. But it's those threats, you see, of the enemies of God and his people that cause us to fear and to tremble. But God is telling us here clearly that he will deal with them. And that effortless, because he is the sovereign of the universe. And he will laugh the opposition of God's people and his Christ. He will laugh them to scorn. You remember what he says back in Psalm 2 when all the kings said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And what's God's response? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. And it goes on, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. I will deal with them, says the Lord. There is no cause for my people to fear. Jesus, you see, is our refuge, our strength, our deliverer. He is our victorious warrior king. And his purposes will be worked out in all generations in Haggai's, in yours and mine, in future generations, however many there are left. But we need to learn to discern his presence amongst us and for us, even when there are no outward appearances, signs of his presence. For he is, as he has promised, he remains with us. He is always with us, and be with us as we seek to build the house of God, extend the kingdom of our God. I will be with you till the end of the age. He has promised us. This connects with the earthquake that was mentioned back in verse 6. Yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations. And of course that begins. That begins with the first advent of Christ, with his coming in the flesh, which is at this point about 500 years away. And of course it ends with the destruction of this world order and system as we know it. The judgment of all mankind. And then of course it's only the kingdom of God and all that belongs to his kingdom that will remain standing. And then the everlasting throne of David will be restored. And the reign of all the heathen kingdoms will be broken. Verse 22, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. He says, I will overthrow them all. However big and mighty they think they might be, the kingdom of Islam, the kingdom of the Antichrist, all the heathen reigns, heathen kingdoms will be broken. Because they depend simply on human strength, on earthly might and power. They depend upon things like chariots and those that ride in them. You could read for chariots, tanks, you know? And them that ride in them, that operate the tanks. And the horses, you know? The fighter planes, maybe. The missiles and their riders. They'll all come down. Just earthly human strength, because God Almighty, he will overthrow them by his almighty power. The shaking is seen, of course. The shaking is seen as the wars of the nations. And remember that Jesus Christ is the one who, in Revelation, he controls the four horses. And you have the red horse, goes out and brings war amongst the nations. And these nations, you see, they war against one another. You see it today. You see ISIS in the Middle East. You see Russia coming against Ukraine. And wars and rumors of wars, there always is. All through the New Testament age. But the shaking is seen in these wars of the nations, because these wars are the means by which Jesus Christ controls and directs these heathen kingdoms. And they are the means by which he brings judgment upon the nations. You see, when we read these things in the news, we read what Islam is doing, ISIS is doing, and we learn what Mr. Putin is doing in Ukraine and elsewhere. In all these wars, in all these tumults, in all these shakings, we need to see the hand of our sovereign warrior God, Jesus Christ. And it ends, of course, with the Almighty, the Mother of all wars, spoken about in Revelation, which precedes his coming in glory, when he brings down the kingdom of the Antichrist as well. And thus fulfills, then you see, fulfills the prophecies concerning David and his throne. Remember what his mother was told, Luke 1 and verse 32, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now this cannot be Zerubbabel, because the line of David is diminished, and it's diminishing and diminishing. And by the time the Lord Jesus Christ steps into this world, seen born of the woman, the line hangs by a thread, one woman, Mary. And so the throne and the power of David shall only be restored in Jesus Christ. Secondly, the servant of God. Verse 23, in that day saith the Lord of hosts, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, and the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet. Again, immediately, this is spoken to Zerubbabel, no question about that. But it goes further, it goes beyond him. Note what he says, I will take thee, I will make thee, I have chosen thee. Zerubbabel, of course, yes, but ultimately again, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He has been given a job to do, a task to do, a mission. Zerubbabel has been given a task to do, to rebuild the temple, and that will be done. And we, in between, we have been given a task to do. Altogether, we are temple builders seeking to build the house of God and extend the kingdom of our God. You've a job to do, God is saying, and in spite of our capacities and our limitations, Zerubbabel's and ours, we're in the hands of the potter. So when he says, I will take thee and I will make thee because I have chosen thee, mark it that he, the master potter, is able to make us that which he requires and needs us to be. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. God will make us, mold us, and shape us, and make us into whatever he requires us to be. So our incapacities or limitations are of no consequence at all to him. God is greater than all of our flaws. It is simply for us in faith to yield ourselves to his school of discipleship. Because he has begun the work, and he will bring the work to a completion. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident, says the apostle, confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It shall be done. So we're made, you see, until our time is finished, our work is done, we're made, you might say, indestructible. Isaiah 54 and 17, the Lord says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. What have the Lord's, with promises such as this, what have the Lord's people to fear, I ask you, against a bunch of politicians and all these other factions that come against us in our day and generation? They'll rise and they'll fall, each and every one of them, But the kingdom of our God and we who belong to it will continue to stand. Zerubbabel here is the political head. He's a civil ruler here. He's the leader of the Jews. And so therefore he's God's representative. He's not the king. Okay? He is of the royal line of David, but he's not the king. He's under the authority of another nation yet. He's God's representative of divine rule, and he's used of God to rebuild the temple, and that will be done, God tells him. But again, I emphasize this point. He speaks ultimately to and about Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the chosen, the ultimate chosen servant of the Lord. Christ's appointed and anointed servant. Isaiah, of course, he makes much of this. He speaks of him in chapter 41 and verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. And then in chapter 44 and the first four verses there, Isaiah speaks much about the servant of the Lord, speaking of course ultimately about Christ. He says in that day, at the beginning of verse 23. Remember that's one day, and of course the prophets see in this one day, the beginning of the day is the coming of Christ in his flesh, but at the end of the day is the judgment of the world. You see? It's in the eyes of the prophets, you see, it's an age to us, but it's just one day to them. But it all points, you see, to a glorious future. It's going somewhere. And it's the future that God has for his people, and it's guaranteed, it's promised here, divinely promised. And not a single one of all that God has promised his people will fail. Whatever we're experiencing, whatever persecutions, whatever troubles or fears are coming upon us, whatever we're experiencing in the interim, this is our future. This is where we are going with Christ. And we must hold to this in faith, believingly, and never judge by present appearances. Why should we worry about what Mr. Cameron is saying? Why should we worry about what enactments he's bringing in that are contrary to God and to his law? Why should we worry about the Putins and the Obamas? Why should we worry about Jihadi John and his savages in the Middle East? Because God will deal with them, overthrow them, and bring them down. Every last one of them. They are but pawns in the hands of the Almighty. So we must hold to this and never simply just judge by present appearances. Whatever the circumstances that we face, whether they be difficult ones or whether they be plain and easy ones, in our pilgrimage, it is for this hour that we are called. And it is our privilege and our position to witness to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of our generation and to seek with all that we've been given to build the house of God and extend the kingdom of our God. But then thirdly and finally, mention is made of the signet of the Lord here in verse 23. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Now the signet was the royal ring that was used to seal documents. It was in the form of a ring normally because the king wouldn't lay it aside, you see, he wouldn't lose it, or anybody else. And sometimes, of course, it wasn't the king himself who wore the signet ring, it was his deputy, his understudy. And it was used to seal documents, decrees and statutes that were issued by the king, either the king himself or the his understudy would take the document, the ring, the seal, and he would stamp it, you see, with the signet. And so therefore the document, whatever it was, it bore the king's approval, you see. No one durst question it. Now here, again, you see as further evidence that this speaks of the royal throne of David. Hence, of course, of Jesus Christ, as I have already pointed out to you. Zerubbabel's royal power, if you could call it that, was of God. You see? And he is, in his situation, in his day and generation, he is the signet. He is the ring in the hand of God. He's the representative of God. And whatever he says amongst the people of God, he carries the authority of God. He's the signet ring in the hand of God. But of course, it's Christ's final, and he is the final and the ultimate representative of the kingly majesty of God. It is Christ, you see, who bears the seal, the stamp, the impression left by the signet of the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, concerning Christ, we read, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image, the seal of his person. You see? Christ bears the exact representation of God. He is the ultimate signet ring in the hand of God. It's him that's spoken of here. And it's Christ, you see, who has been appointed and chosen by God to open the seals in Revelation chapter 5, unraveling and executing the plans, the decrees of God throughout the New Testament age. So anything that takes place, you see, it's under the authority of the one who is the signet ring in the hand of God. It's under the authority of Jesus Christ, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion in the midst of his people. And he is ultimately the true temple builder. And he tells us that nothing, absolutely nothing, not even the gates of hell, shall prevail against him. Matthew 16 and verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Zerubbabel, of course, has his part to play. Oh, there's no doubt about that. He's spoken of again in the next book of the Bible, in Zechariah, that we're coming to next, in chapter 4 and verse 7, who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. What a word is that for Zerubbabel. He's laboring with this house and people, this temple of the Lord. that doesn't come anywhere near anything like Solomon's temple, and he's got people around him and they're muttering and they're complaining. They're saying to him, "Oh, we saw Solomon's temple, and in comparison, this is absolutely rubbish. This is nothing." And Zerubbabel must have been thinking to himself at times, "Surely this is a waste of space. I'll never finish this job." "Oh yes, yes," says the Lord, "yes you will. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you." He is assured, and we are assured, in exactly the same words: the house of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the kingdom of God and His Christ will be completed. We may face the same temptations. We may hear the same from elderly Christians today. "Oh, I remember the days, you know. I remember the days when the churches were full and people were coming to Christ one after the other, night by night. And look at this now. Look at you call these churches today. We see nothing. We see nobody being converted, and God's servants are depressed and discouraged and wanting to give up. I will build my house, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This is God's word to His church in all ages, not just Zerubbabel's. This is His word to His church in all ages. God, through Jesus Christ, will accomplish the task, the house of God and the kingdom of God will be completed. So somebody says, "Well, if that's the case, then we can sit back and take our ease. We can just fill a pew Sunday by Sunday and leave everything to God and His Son. They'll see that it's all brought to completion." No. No, this is not an excuse for being idle. Verse 4, remember? Now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. So my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. But, of course, the work is accomplished by Christ through us. It is His death and resurrection, the New Testament tells us, is the cornerstone, is the foundation. Then, of course, the teaching of the prophets and apostles, you see, it's built upon that cornerstone, that foundation, which is Christ. And as God's people, as we work, as we toil and labour at the building of God's house, He, Christ, sovereignly and freely, He gathers in, He calls and He gathers in and preserves the living stones, places them, fits them into His building, calling them to faith and repentance and calling them to service, in His kingdom, building, extending His kingdom. And so therefore He says to you this evening, be strong, stay the course, consider your ways, as the prophet Haggai has already instructed us to do. Because all the obstacles, whatever you see before you, that would hinder you from serving the Lord, that would hinder you from witnessing to the Lord Jesus Christ, get rid of all the discouragements, get rid of all the depression, and by faith lay hold upon this that is promised here, all the obstacles, not one of them, will be left standing and will never cause the cause of Christ to yield. Verse 22 again, we'll begin in verse 21. I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. And I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. Muhammad's kingdom, Cameron's, Obama's, Putin's. I will overthrow every last one of them, he says. And I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, the day of the Lord. So there are no obstacles. It is left to us simply and only to continue in the way of obedience, trusting in our God and trusting in what He has promised us here in Haggai, that His temple builder, that Jesus, will build His church, and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Or against us, that is. Because the church is not a building, it's a body of people called by God into His kingdom, sovereignly called and given faith, the gifts of faith and repentance, to believe, to trust in God's Son, and from there on, to serve Him in faith, trusting each step of the way. He, you see, that believeth shall not be condemned. He that believeth shall be saved. Amen.